Welcome to Freedom Cast, a podcast dedicated to interviewing star icons and entrepreneurs who have encouraged others to become more healthy and active. My name is Ashton, and it's my pleasure to host you as we take another trip through the fitness industry. It's entertaining and informative, and I hope it makes fitness more exciting and special to you in your own fitness journey. Freedom Cast is supported by Freedom Fitness Equipment in Charlotte, North Carolina. Freedom Fitness Equipment serves the health and fitness community nationwide, from free weights and strength equipment for home gyms and studios to cardio and conditioning equipment for commercial spaces. Check them out at freedomfitnessequipment.com. Let's get rolling with today's show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Freedom Cast podcast. We're here with Jamal, or Jamal TDR on Instagram and TikTok. And welcome to the podcast, man. Appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, glad to be on here.
I want to get a little bit of an intro to who the heck you are and why you're lifting all this heavy-ass weight. But yeah, give us a little bit of your background and how you got into powerlifting and start lifting like world records.
So basically, I grew up with a bunch of family members, and like being Arab, so I grew up Arab and I always played soccer. And in high school, I kind of quit all sports altogether because we were facing some racial like things in school and things like that, because I was grew up in Southern Ohio. My family was the only family in the entire school that was Arab.
Oh my God.
So there was like two black kids in the entire school, but they were always really cool with everybody. But then it was always the Arab family because we were the only ones who would travel. We traveled away. So like growing up at the beginning, especially with 9/11 happening, we came back and faced especially a lot of racism because we moved to Lebanon for a little bit and came back.
Okay.
So family wasn't really liked just because of the fact that we grew up Arab and things like that. And so like faced that all throughout high school sports, well, middle school sports. And I just decided, I was like, forget this. If I'm going to keep doing this, even I'm working my ass off for sports and things like that, and just keep getting on the shit end of the stick because of who I am or how I grew up, then I'm just going to quit it all together. So I'm quitting it all together. And I would go to church at the time because I converted from Islam to Christianity. Mm-hmm. And my youth pastor, Josh Petrie, he just saw me kicking a soccer ball one day. And I was just at the goal because I decided to go back and start playing soccer again during my high school years. And the thing was like my freshman year. And he's like, hey, you should come work out at the gym. I was like, no, that's not for me. I was like, at first I was like, I don't want to do that. And he's like, well, I'll give you a job. And I was like, okay, I'll do a job. So first I started off basically working out, and well, not working out. I worked the kids club, and then I would just go do the workouts he gave me, which are pretty simple, like five exercises, not very hard. And I remember like one of my first weeks in the gym, I put on like 65 pounds on the bar. Like I just put on like a barbell and a 10 plate, and it just got stuck on my face because I didn't know how to bench. And I was like embarrassed that I didn't come back. And I just worked and just stopped working out. He's like, you got to continue to work out. So it started off with three times a week. And I would say about like 4 months into it, I was like, hey, Josh, it was like Thanksgiving break. Like, you know, some people just, oh, it's Thanksgiving, I'm not coming to the gym. I was like, Josh, I worked out four times this week. He's like, that's awesome. And I was like, yeah. And then like it developed to five. And then at one point I was going five times a week, doubles every single day, and I was hitting like arms or like back during the mid, like I would hit like lats because it was like my favorite like exercises to hit. So I was hitting like back day three times a week in the morning before school. Like it just continued to grow and grow. And my junior year, we decided to start a powerlifting club at my school because there was our high school had a conference where there was powerlifting in it. It was one of the high school sports. And we decided to create a team. So within our first year, we created a team of like 15 kids. And we had like 14 guys and one girl. And that year, I helped create that team. And then we decided we all actually qualified to go to states. So I went to states and I was like, because it was just powerlifting, I was like, this is fun.
Yeah.
Lifting heavyweight. And it wasn't even like heavyweight. It was like benched 185. Right. And I deadlifted like 370 and like squatted like 315, like my first time.
Nice.
At like a state competition. And wow. I was in the 198 class, and I got demolished at States. I placed like 55 out of 60 people.
Holy God.
I got wrecked at States, and it just drove that hunger inside of me. I was like, I will never face this embarrassment again. And the next year I went into this huge like bulk cycle, and I'm getting up to like 208, but I was like chunky 208. And because between I was playing soccer and football in the same season and doing track in spring. So like I would fluctuate like 30, 40 pounds between the seasons.
Oh, wow.
Get, like really lean. And then I would bulk back up because I was doing the whole GOMAD, which is a gallon of milk a day.
Yep.
And I was just drinking a gallon of chocolate milk every single day. And I was so dedicated to this craft. Like in the morning before school, I would go to the food fair because it would open up at 7 o'clock every single day, and school didn't start till 8. I would go to the gym, work out, go to food fair, buy a gallon of milk, take it, because I was in college classes as well. So like I would take it to my first period class, drink my milk at my first period class.
Oh my gosh.
Leave. And then I would go to my college classes if I did have some, and I would be just drinking milk and have it done before like the end of the day and school. And I was just like drinking a gallon of water as well. I was doing everything. And I was like, because I was like looking at like getting into college for soccer or football. I was like, man, I really want to get into college soccer or football. And Josh was like, I think you should continue to focus on powerlifting, because with our hometown, you're not getting much. Like I didn't get any, like I didn't get a starting spot in high school football until my senior year, where I finally got the opportunity to go out in the field during. And then when I went out to the field, I actually like did really well my first game, like in varsity. But I was just like, you never got the opportunity with where I was at. It was a small town school. The coach's kids always got like picked first, or if your parents had money, you got picked first to be on the team. Even though if you weren't better than most people, you were still out there doing your thing. And so he's like, I think, and that's like, it plays a huge role, especially when it comes to getting colleges and things like that, how much more exposure you have. So it's like, my exposure wasn't really high. I got offers from like small colleges, but I was just like, I don't want to go to a D2 school that's not going to pay me any money, or a D3 school that I'm not going to get anything, or walk on to something. I was like, I'm just going to continue powerlifting. And this is before I even knew powerlifting was in college and get a scholarship for it.
Uh-huh.
I had no idea. So then I decided I wanted to get out of the small area I was in and continue to like leave. And just a small town, I feel like there's like a curse of small towns.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like everybody just follows like their father's footpath, and me not having a father, I was just like, I'm just going to do whatever I want. So I joined the military. Despite having asthma when I was younger, I was like, always like, so I'm going to join the military. They're like, you can't, you have asthma. So I was just like,
oh geez.
And so then I was like, how do I get away with this asthma thing? And my recruiter is like, just go get tested. There's a waiver for it. When got tested, got a waiver. And a few months later, I joined the military. So from right after high school, after I graduated, went to the military, then moved to Denver, Colorado with the reservist. And I feel like that's kind of where I hit a growth spurt in my training and just being by myself. It was just like, because I did it with my social media. I was so worried about people's, when I was younger, especially like facing bullying and like that stuff while I was in high school, mm-hmm. like people just always talking about, why are you posting your fitness things? Why are you posting this? Why are you posting? It's so weird. And I was just like, I was just like, so mindful. Like I just paid too much attention to other people's opinions when I was in high school.
Mm.
And then whenever I moved away, I kind of just separated myself from that. And as I grew up more and more away from everybody, I started separating myself more and more from other people. And when I go home, people are like, oh, did you know this is what this person's doing? I was like, I don't care. Like, it doesn't affect my life. I don't care what these people are doing. Sure. Like, oh, this person got a kid. I'm just like, still don't care. Like, it's like, I'll probably never talk to him again. I was like, and so then I decided to continue to, and being away from home, I feel like, kind of built me up. And mm-hmm. I was going to college, working two jobs, also with the reserves. So I basically had like three jobs with reserves, like one time a month,
mm-hmm.
and doing all these different things, and decided to compete again after like a year of being in Denver. So I competed in June And that you might have seen that video. It's like one of the videos where I first passed out on stage competing.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah, gosh.
I was only going for like my last training max in 2017 was 490 or something like that. It was okay. Like my max lift for deadlift. And I don't compete as very often as very other people because of just how busy I am. Mm-hmm. And turned around, I competed again 2 years later, and I hit 550, 600, I think I went for like 615 or something like that, and I passed out on 615. And I was like, man. And then I didn't compete, so that was in June of 2019. And then 2 months later, I had this great job. I was working as a servant. I built my way up to do it. And I was working as a server and things. And basically what ended up happening from there, I was like learning the bartending stuff. And my car broke down. And the dealership I had it was, I had the same issue with the car for like, since I bought the car, it was like within the month after I bought the car. So I could have sued for like lemon and things like that. And I didn't. I was like, I like trust people a lot. And I always like the benefit of the doubt, even though it bites me in the ass sometimes. And basically this dealership bit me in the ass and they did not fix my car. And they just kept like, oh, it's fixed now. And then like 2 weeks later, it would start breaking down again. And then the transmission went out. So I gave them the car and like, they're like, oh yeah, we're working on it. And like 2 months later goes by and they didn't work on it. Well, in that meantime, I was riding my bike from the gym I worked at and back because I lost the job I was working at as a server and things like that closed down. And that was like where I was getting most of my money. I was making a lot of money there. So I was like, I'm gonna get another job. And then my owner of the 24 hour fitness I was doing personal training at was like, no, just continue to work here. We'll build up your career here. And that way you can make a lot more money here. And I was like, okay, fine. I trust you. And in August of 2019, I was riding my way to work on a back road. And I guess I was riding because in Denver, we have like, bike lanes.
Yeah.
It's illegal to ride on the sidewalk and get a ticket. Mm-hmm. So I was riding on a bike lane and I looked behind me and this person's like riding my lane. And I was like sitting there and I look behind me again and they're closer, still in my lane. And then I look back again, they're like super close to me. So I go to hop up on the curb. And as I go to hop up on the curb, they hit my back tire and I just went over my handlebars, went to catch myself with my hand. Well, I went to protect my head with my hand and it shattered my right hand.
Oh my gosh.
And this was a few months after like my competition and I was like, oh, I don't think it's broke. I think it's dislocated. And like, I had like some like combat lifesaver experience. I had some tools and like bag stuff at home to like clean up all like the mess. So I was like, I don't need to go to the hospital. I'll be fine. I was like, just a road rash. And I get home and it's like really, really bad. Like it's terrible. And I call my ex at the time and I was like, hey, I was like, I know you work in a hospital. I was like, can you come help me clean this? Cause we were still on good terms. We were still good friends afterwards.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, she came down there and she's like, you need to go to the hospital. I was like, since you said it, I'll do it. And we go and we get my hand checked out and the guy goes, I was like, yeah, it's dislocated, right? He's like, yeah, it looks like it could be dislocated. My hand was just puff swollen. I was like, okay. And he goes, yeah, no, your hand's fucked. And I was like, no way. And it was the metacarpal that's like right here, the thicker bone that's down here.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Split at the head of it. And he was like, he's like, yeah, this is going to need surgery. And I was like, no. I was like, I've never had like surgery. Mm-hmm. And I was like, fuck. And so then Army goes, I call my leadership in the Army and they're like, I was like, hey, I was riding my bike to work and some dude hit me. And then what they do, they go, you were on a motorcycle and you got hit. You didn't even take the motorcycle safety driver's course in the Army. I was like, hey, I was on a bicycle on my way to work in Denver and I got hit. They're like, oh, that changes things. I was like, all right.
Yeah.
Like, do you need anything? I was like, I think I'll be fine. But like when I got hit, I just picked up my bike and I walked it home even though the tire was all bad. I just picked it up, walked it home, walked up my stairs with like a broke hand. And honestly, I thought this was my good hand, the hand that was broke. So I was carrying everything with this hand with like the broken thumb. And this side was all road rash. So I was like holding this side like this, carrying everything upstairs. And I get it in, I walk up the stairs and I get everything in. I'm like, okay, time to clean myself. So I don't like painkillers. So I threw down like some whiskey and I just went like, went to the shower and I just started scrubbing like all the semen out. And I was like biting a sock too as I was doing it. I was like, this fucking hurts. So like, since that injury happened, I couldn't do my second job and I was doing like landscaping work because I actually kind of like doing landscaping. And basically, the 24-hour fitness I was working at was basically pulling our hours. They were going under the table and didn't let any of us know. And they kept like pulling my hours. So in August, she was like, so she's like, I'm cutting you down to 4 hours a week. So that way you can only, I can only go to the floor for 4 hours a week. But like, that means like, we can only go out and try to get more clients. We only get 4 hours to do that a week, even though we had, we're able to do it for like 30 hours a week and then do training with the rest of the hours.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, excuse me, what? So I started looking for another job, but with a broken hand, looking for another job isn't the best.
Yeah.
And basically my military insurance, I wasn't aware that you had to pay a premium every month to have insurance in the reserves. And I didn't know that. So I was like, wait, what do you mean you guys aren't going to cover my surgery?
Oh, no.
Like, you haven't paid for insurance. I was like, no one even told me that with the Army that I had to pay for insurance. They're like, sorry, that's on your unit. And I was like,
oh, no.
So I ended up having to owe like $5,000 or something like that.
Ooh.
And I was just like, and that wasn't in, including like the urgent care and all the other stuff. That was just like for the operation and the anesthesiology. And I was just like, fuck, where do I go from here? Like, I have no idea. My parents aren't rich. I didn't have like anybody. I had like three friends in Denver. And basically what happened was I was just like, I paid to get the surgery done and paid what I could to get the surgery done and turned around in September, which is my birthday. I was like, hey, I can't pay you guys. I told him in August, like, hey, I can't pay you guys. I don't think I can pay on the 10th. And they're like, well, this is what we'll do. And I was like, okay, so can I pay you guys like on the 15th when I get the money? And they're like, no, you have a week to pay us or you're being evicted. And I was like,
oh my word.
Not even a month. It was like 7 days after the first, they're kicking you out. And I was like, oh, okay. So then I decided just to, with my broken hand still, I went ahead and moved everything on my apartment, everything. And you, I had a Jeep Liberty where I slept in with my military sleeping bag for the course of from September all the way to January, where I was able to go
active
duty. I wanted to go active duty sooner, but it's a whole releasing process. I started the process in August. And I didn't think it would take that long, but it took forever. And because I always wanted to go active, and I was like, you know, I'm going to try active duty. And yeah, it just was, it was just a bad, bad show. And I was just like, it is what it is. But it's like a learning process, especially I'm glad it happened when I was 21.
Yeah.
It's like, now I have everything paid off. And
right.
I'm 23, almost 24. And when I went active duty, I went straight to Korea. And basically I was in the time, meantime, I was like from before I went to Korea and the time I became homeless and was evicted, I basically slept in my Jeep, even through the winter of Denver, Colorado. And I would just, my car was, I bought it. When I bought it, it had just like 10% all the way around, except for the front. So like no one could see inside or anything. So, and it was like big. So I just put down the two middle row seats and went to sleep every night in my sleeping bag from the military I was issued. And I would go to the gym every day and continue my lifting and like nothing happened. Like, 'cause I was so stubborn. I didn't want to tell anybody. and I got another job in the meantime as another server at Bar Louie and did some bar backing work as well. And I was just like, you know what? I'm gonna keep doing this. Serving things working out for me. So instead of getting another place, which I made quite a bit of money again there, instead of just getting another place, I was like, I'm going to pay off what I owe.
Right.
I think I could live like this. It'll be fine. I'm by myself. I'm not really like in the scene of dating anybody right now. Nothing. I was like training, working out, work. That's all I cared about. So I would work out, I would work. And after my workouts at night, I would go take a shower at the gym. And then I would go back to my car and then fall back asleep and then do it again the next day. And I picked up as many hours as I wanted to throughout the week and as many shifts as I could. And I didn't care to like work. I was like, what else am I going to do? I don't want to ride. I was like, so I'm just going to work as much as possible. And so that's what I did. I just continued to do my like training thing. Mm-hmm. And with my training thing, it was like sponsored by one company when I was younger. Mm-hmm. I didn't make anything. I made like maybe $50 off of them every month.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I was like, but I only had like 2,000 followers and I was still powerlifting and things like that. And so then I decided I came here to Kansas after that whole like scenario. And I was just like, never do I want to be in that position again. Cause like, even though I was working all the time, I didn't see like a reason to work. Like I didn't see anything crazy. And in the meantime, I was like, I was powerlifting, but I wasn't like a top tier powerlifter. Like I was just like growing. And I was like, I faced a lot of depression when I was in that stage. Like,
oh yeah.
The way I was like, damn, because like every time it's just like, this keeps happening to me. This keeps happening to me. Like so many bad things kept happening to me. And I was just like, I was like, man, when's it ever going to stop? It didn't seem to stop. So I came back to duty and in 2020, January of 2020, and we got sent straight to Korea and I was competing again. We did a competition in June when I got to Korea and I blew everybody out of the water and I was like, I'm gonna keep continuing to powerlift because like the closest deadlift to me in that competition was like 585. And this is like a military one.
Yeah.
And I went and pulled 655 and went for 675 and it slipped out my hands. And I
was like, oh my gosh.
I was like, whatever.
Wow.
And we weren't using like a deadlift bar. We were using like a stiff bar. And I was like, okay, whatever. I was also like 21 at the time. So I was like, who cares? I was like, I did this. And then I was like, I'm going to compete and I'm going to go for a world record. Cause I was like, while I was in Korea, everybody was like drinking, everybody was doing like other things, partying. And I was just like, I don't have the money to party since I'm still paying off a bunch of shit. I was like, I try to save up for stuff. So I was like, you know what I'm gonna do? And what I did is I sat back and I just went to the gym every day. I didn't care if I worked 24-hour shifts. I was going to the gym at the end of a 24-hour shift. I didn't care, or I was in the middle of the 24-hour shift. I didn't care anything. I'd be sweating all day out in the sun. I was like, I'm going to the gym. And for the entire time, I didn't have a single rest day while I was in Korea. And I just went to the gym every single day. But it was holy like, crud. It was like active recovery rest days. Like I would go to the gym when I would go swim at the gym, or I was just there. Some way to fill my time and not just sit in my room. And basically from there, I was like, okay. When I got back, I was like planning, I was prepping. I was like, okay, so there's a competition here in December when we get back from Korea at the end of 2020. I was like, and I want to go for this world record. Well, this national record. The national record was 705 in the 188, 20 to 23 junior. And I was like, which was also the world record. I was like, I want to go for this record when I get back. It's in the drug test division. And I was like, I want to hit this. So we get back in November. And in December, I'm telling the unit I want to compete. And I set up my leave back in October because you're supposed to give them 2 weeks notice. And I gave them 2 months notice.
Oh, and
then
wow.
It's like, they're like, COVID, no. No. I was like, I've already paid for this. Like, well, tell them you're in the military and you could do, and that you just need your money back. I was like, I don't know if you guys know this, but I was like, not everything revolves around the military. Like, and they're like, well, then they're shitty people. They don't give you your money back. I'm like, I'm not going to use that to a gym. And basically at the competition, I wasn't able to go and I threatened them. I was like, I'm just going to go because I want to go and I'm going to pay for all the money. And whenever I've been paying off a bunch of loans and things like that, and then I have, well, I've been paying off a bunch of stuff and then my car, not my, when I've been paying off a bunch of stuff and I save up the money to do this competition, it's like, it means something to me. And
yeah,
they're like, yeah, no, sorry. Go fuck yourself. And I was like, okay,
wow,
I'll do that. And I end up putting up regulation and an investigation against the company and they end up moving me. And I was like, cause I was like, I'm gonna go on my weekend. And what they do is they schedule me for a 24-hour shift that day. And it was just to watch a box for like 4 or 5 hours and then go do something else. And I was like,
wow,
you guys are assholes.
Yeah.
But then I got pissed off. I didn't care about regulation. I was like, straight up to my lieutenant, who I'm supposed to call sir, I was like, go fuck yourself for not standing up for me and standing up for your soldier. I was like, go fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. And I was like a hothead. I was like, because I'm cool. I'm calm and cool and relaxed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Until somebody calls me selfish when I continuously help other people. I'm just like, call me selfish. And I got called selfish by my LTs. Like, you just want to go to competition so you can get this record and look better for yourself. I was like, go fuck yourself. I was like, because 90% of the time, the reason stupid shit we do stuff in the army is to make people look better.
And just right, exactly.
Your officers. And it's like, why the fuck are we doing this again when we just did? And it's like, oh, I get another bullet point underneath my record. So it's just like, I'm the selfish one. Cool. So turn around, 4 months later, I schedule another competition. It's the drug-tested Kabuki Classic. And I go there and I had to do this major water cut. And it was like, not major. It wasn't major at all. It was like 6 pounds. And I thought it was
the
biggest thing. I was like, this is going to be a lot. This is like 4 pounds more. Like it's triple the amount I had to lose the last time. I don't know how I'm going to do it. Thinking it was like, I don't know how I'm going to do it. And I was still learning about water cutting and powerlifting and stuff, especially when I was at that age. So I compete. My squat goes like dog shit. My bench goes like dog shit. And then my deadlift was the only one that did well. And I hit 705. And as I was going up for 705, I was coming up and then I had a halt at the middle and then finished it. But it caused this like big like issue in the powerlifting scene. People like, that shouldn't have counted. Why the fuck did these judges allow that happen? I'm just like, why does it matter?
I was like, you can go down.
It was like, it didn't go down. It stalled, it like halted. And the reason why it looked like it is because my knee wobbled and it got stuck. My knee wobbled and I locked it in. I was just like, whatever, who cares? You guys are going to have issues with it. Other people's opinions, who cares? And I was like, I got so much dog shit for this. And it like, I was like, who cares? But in my mind, I was like, fuck everybody. I'm going to make this better. And so for like months, I worked on mobility. I worked on my positioning because I was like, I'm a strong deadlifter. I realize it, but my positioning was fucked. Like I was like, looked like a dog taking a shit when I was lifting. And I was like, I have enough thoracic extension, but not, I wasn't able to hold that thoracic extension in the same spot. So like, as soon as the heavy weight bear would load, my spine would bend more and that way causing me, it'd be hard for me to lock out. So it's like, okay, so what I do here, what I fix, and I did research and I did all this stuff and came around and I fixed my positioning. And that's how like, I have this like upright position with my hips super close to the bar, like learned it all and slack pull learned it. Cause before I used to just try to jerk it off the ground and I was doing pauses. I was not touching like singles at all. And cause I hit 675 for five in January.
Wow.
With straps.
Okay.
And then I hit 705 at competition and I was like, okay. I was like, I know I have more in the tank. And so I hit 725 after competition, about 2 weeks after comp with straps on. And it didn't move very well. It moved like dog shit. I was like, this moved kind of bad for 725. But I was like, what was wrong? And it was always my lockout. My lockout was like terrible. It was like the hardest thing to get like under control. And I was like, why is my lockout so bad? And so then I started doing all this work and prep. And then in May, end of April, switched to a new form. And beginning of May, I actually strained my adductor. And I was like, damn, this hurts. It's my new form. I need to learn this thing and take it slower. And so I was watching deadlift. What's his name? Can't remember his name. He's an Asian dude. He's like 30.
Oh, okay.
He deadlifts like 815, both conventional and sumo.
Dang.
But I like checked out his form and he goes slower into the slack. And I was like, okay. So just like learning that, like three more cues within like 3 months and practicing them, I went and hit 725. Then I hit 750. And I was like, dang, this is awesome. And then 775 came through. And then beginning of June, I hit 800.
Wow.
But in the time from like one span to the other span, it's just like my form completely changed. The way I came off the ground, because I used to try to jerk it off the ground, the way I sat into my hips, the positioning of my feet, because I was more like frog stance instead of wide. But you can see I was externally rotating my hips, utilizing power and utilizing my body's advantages, especially since I have long femurs. And I wasn't utilizing that the right way the first time and keeping the bar close to you. And so I was just like, damn, this is really, really good. Like, can we, like, change it up? And so a few months go by, I was like, I'm going to compete again. And, like, I don't compete. And when I do compete, it's like every year I compete once. But because I feel like after every competition, it's like I have a bunch of stuff I need to work and grow on.
Yeah.
And so I come around, and in November, I want to compete at the IPL drug tested Worlds. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to compete up for this. So I prep for 6 months again. And then in October, the Army is like, we're going to the field and you don't get to go to the gym and you don't get a meal prep.
Oh.
But this time I was at 209 at the beginning of my cut, at the end of my cut, but then they take me to the field and I go up to 216. And in November 6th was weigh-ins. I was like, I have to be 198 again. And so I get out of the field a week before weigh-ins. It was legit a week before weigh-ins. And I had to go from like 214 to 198.
I was no like, way.
I was like, damn. I was like, this is going to be hard. And so I tried sweating out as much as possible by just doing the sauna, not doing any cardiovascular activities and tiring out my legs. And I got stuck at like 204, 205. And I was like, now I had to kick up the cardio. So I kick up the cardio, increase my heart rate, and then I had to sweat the rest of it out that way. I ended up waking up, hit 198, actually hit 197.6 or something like that. I was like, okay, this isn't too bad. And I was like, it sucks I had to do that. And then my first competition, I went for squats, and on a rough day in October, I hit 515 for five. Like, go on the platform and I go to squat and nothing feels right in my squat. Like, nothing feels right. I'm in the warm-up room. There's a guy who follows me on like social media. And this is where my social media started building. Like, it was like building by August, and people started noticing me when I got to my competition in June, in November. And there's this one dude who absolutely hated me. And he had a mullet, an all-American singlet. And I was like, I don't know why you hate me, whatever. And he was like fucking with me when it came to squats, because he was like, he did reps and he would just take forever. And we were stuck at 405. And I was like, hey, you're going to go? I'm going to bump the weight. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to go. And it takes forever. And so then basically my time comes up to lift. And I'm like, fuck, what do I do here? And so I had to jump from 405 to 510 or something like that. And I went to squat and ate shit on the first one, ate shit on the second one. And went for my third one, and on my third one, I barely get it. I was like,
wow,
holy shit, I almost got DQ'd. And bench went well. I hit like a 25-pound bench PR since comp. Squat, even though it went bad, I still hit like a 20-pound squat PR since last comp. And then deadlift came around, and that's that competition is the competition they switched from the Texas bar to the Kabuki bar. Hmm. And did not know what the Kabuki bar was. I did not know at all. I was like, what the hell is a Kabuki bar? What is a Kabuki deadlift bar? What the fuck is this thing? And it was so whippy compared to the Texas bars that they had in the back.
Oh, yeah.
On my first 705, I came up, locked it out, and they told me down. But when they told me down, it moved over to the right as I was coming out. So it was either I was just smash my toe or I bring my feet in. So I brought my feet in, and they said I didn't keep my feet planted all the way to the bottom, disqualified the lift. So then I go again for 711. And as I come up, the whip caught me, since it was so explosive off the floor at the very top that it, I just brought, came down a little bit, and they disqualified that one. So like, I missed two deadlifts, my two openers. I was like, all right, my next one. I was like, I'm gonna go for 715, breaks the junior national record and the junior world record. And I was like, 715, and I smoke it. Like, I understood what was going on in the first two. I was like, okay, cool. Smoke the next one. And they're like, you get a fourth attempt since you broke these records. And I was like, 755. And they're just like, and somebody's like, you really want to go 755? I was like, well, I got to break the open record now. And so, like, okay. So I throw in 755 and I smoke 755. And it's like, and you can hear the announcers like, this dude has some gears on him still left. And then the Kabuki guys walk up to me. They're like, you had 800 pounds pulled today, didn't you? I was like, that was the plan, but the whole Kabuki bar changed me up. Like, that sucks that happened. Like, we were like excited to see it. And I was like, yeah, it is what it is. So I hit that. Even though it didn't count towards my total, it still counts as the world record. And I was just like, I'm just happy I got it. That's what I came for. And it was just like 2 years ago from that day, I was like sleeping in my car.
Yeah.
And then now I'm breaking this world record. And I was like sleeping in my car and mediocre, and I was hungry with a dream. And then come around, I do this, and then compete in this November, and then turn around. I was like, I want to compete again here soon. And I was like, I don't have much to grow on. I need to work on my squat and I need to work on my bench.
Yep.
And so within the last 8 months, I decided to continue to grow my squat and bench. And I stopped deadlifting. I was deadlifting like three times a week before. And then I switched up. I was like, I'm deadlifting like once a week and just spending the rest of the week to grow. So my bench went from like a 350 bench PR in November and like a 565 squat PR. And within this July, I ended up working with Matt Vina, and my squat just within like a few months went from like 565 and I hit 630 in competition. And my bench went from like 450 or 465, 365 to 430 in a matter of a few, like within 8 months. Wow. And my deadlift, like, we haven't did much work on my deadlift. My deadlift's been kind of stagnant, but like this last competition, like my thumb ripped open on the first lift. And
I saw that.
And I was just like, this happens, it happens. And it's just a fire burning underneath the stem. It's just like, so now I was like, cause I didn't get to work with the Kabuki bar ever. And now I was like, and I feel like that's kind of a reason why my thumb ripped, is cause like you have to set it differently on a Kabuki bar versus Texas. And like, if you get the Texas bar off the ground, it's going up. There's no whip that you really have to deal with. And on that Kabuki bar, it's like you come off the ground too quickly and it pulls you down. And you just have to pull off the ground slower. So from now, like, I, next time Kabuki opens up their bars in the PR deadlift bar, is like, I'm just going to spend the $500 to get one.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to wait in my gym. I'm not going to travel to find one. I was like, I'm just going to get one for myself.
Yeah.
I was like, because on reality, it doesn't matter what bar I squat with on squat. Doesn't matter what bar I bench with on bench, they're all relatively the same. I was like, the only one that really changes everything in the dynamics is those Kabuki deadlift bars, because the positioning you wedge yourself into, the knurling of the bar on your hands. I was like, I can squat with a 20-pound Walmart bar and be the same almost. Like, I'll probably have more whip on that than I will have with the Texas squat bar. But I was like, other than that, like, who cares? I don't care about squat really, even though my squat is getting up there. I went for 660 the other day, almost got it up.
Oof.
After COVID. And I got it like halfway up and then ate shit. I was like, I'm calling it. I'm still sick. I was like, I'm not even going to deal with this. I was like, I'm kind of an idiot 5 days of COVID, turn around and try to hit 660. Wasn't the brightest idea, but I was like, I think I have it. Maybe, who knows? Because sometimes there's always those days that you just feel bad and you end up PRing.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I've had that. I've had that happen too. I know what you mean.
So it's kind of like my story over the last 7-8 years.
That is fascinating,
beginning,
man.
Since I've started lifting.
Yeah, so. That's crazy. That's absolutely wild. Well, and it just shows like you really can, you can complain about your circumstances. You can, woe is me about any number of things, but you absolutely crushed not only your own life goals, but like just recovery into what you're doing right now. Are you still bartending? So like is lifting kind of your full time now or?
I'm still active duty. That's kind of where I'm at. I'm in my barracks room.
Okay, nice.
I'm still active duty military for the next 4 months. I'm getting out because they, Army keeps asking me, like, why are you getting out? You have all these qualifications. You can go here, here, and here. You can choose this. So, like, you can get this bonus. Like, why are you getting out? I was like, because the Army and my powerlifting do not mix.
Yeah.
And I was like, the Army, to me, has came so down in the amount of, like, grade and work ethic that they allow, and I'm so sick and tired of having to do other people's jobs just because they are lazy. And then because people don't like me, they take the one opportunity where I'm not at work and I'm doing something else. Like, he's not even at work, he's lazy, he's a piece of shit. And I'm just like, okay. I was like, I'm like the only one that's sweating away. Like, I checked like my Fitbit thingy, my smartwatch, and like I've walked over like close to 70 miles this week.
Wow.
From the Army. And I'm just like, and you guys are telling me I'm the lazy person.
Oh my God.
I'm the lazy one. And I was like, they say I'm selfish. And I had a conversation with my first sergeant the other day, and he called me lazy. He called me lazy, incompetent. And he said, I have a giant ego. And I was just like, but this is the guy you come from who drives a bright orange Dodge Challenger. And he says he's like the best at PT, even though he has tight abductors. So he walks like he's a penguin. And I'm like sitting here, I'm just like, dude, I was like, and I've told him, I was like, hey, you need to like stretch out your adductors. I was like, because your feet are alternately externally rotated like that. And that's not good for you. And he's like, nah, they've always been like that. I know what I'm doing. So you can't tell me anything. Like, I like tried explaining to him since I've done like my college and stuff like that. I've tried explaining to him about how he should run PT. Since I am the master fitness trainer, like it's my job to like help run PT.
Yeah. He's
like, nah, I've been doing this way for years. And he's like, this is the way we should be doing it. I'm like, all right, man, cool. I don't care.
And the Army still wants you to come back, which is the weird thing. Like, if they're calling you all this stuff, like lazy and entitled, like, and they want you to come back, something's not adding up. So
yeah, the best thing is the guy who runs this position isn't the guy who makes me re-enlist. It's a different guy who doesn't see it because they can switch me to different bases. Right. It's like, this person is the douchebag. My BC is like cool. My retention officer is cool. But it's like, in order to work with these guys, I still have to directly work with this guy.
Yeah.
And I've had this type of leadership for like 5 or 6 times now since I've been in for like the last 3 years. And I'm just like, one, I was like, I don't have to deal with people like that. Sorry. I was like, I'm respectful to everybody's opinions. I was like, I respect everybody's opinions and I let them talk and I let them listen. When you sit there and cut me off and you call me these names, I stop listening to you.
Yeah.
Why would I even want to listen to somebody who's going to sit there and degrade somebody instead of talking with them? Like,
right.
It's like, well, I've heard from other people that you're lazy. I was like, well, how about you come ask me what the situation is? There's always two sides to a story.
Yeah.
I was like, and the person who called me lazy is the actual lazy person. And he called me lazy because I didn't want to do his job.
Oh, nice.
And I'm just like, but that's, you know,
it's
whoever speaks up first and that's the opinion that gets called. So I'm like a person who keeps my head down. I don't like drama. I don't talk with all this stuff. I just want to go do my own thing, do my work, get off of work, go gym.
Sure, absolutely. A couple of rapid fire questions for you. I was looking through your Instagram. It looks like you didn't start your Instagram that long ago, and you've got 20,000 followers already. Did it blow up as of recently, or was there stuff before that?
Last year, I started my Instagram. Well, I've had my Instagram for a long time.
Oh, okay.
The Instagram I had for a long time ended up getting deleted.
Oh.
I had it for a really long time, and I was at like 28K.
Oh, wow.
And it blew up in July of last year. Probably my most famous TikTok I made has like 9-10 million. That one kind of blew up my social media. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of like a hot take in the power of the community, like on the rise. So people like looking at me a lot. And I just feel like I also received a lot of hate from that too, because I was getting reposted a lot last year.
Yeah.
And so people were like, he hasn't done anything, so-and-so. And truth be told, like, I haven't done anything crazy in competition yet. I really haven't. Just can't do that because of military stuff. And that's kind of what I want to get out.
Yep.
And I built up my social media, and I started working with this company called Clout. And Clout was a smaller growing company. And they reached out to me like, hey, we want to pay you salary. We want to pay you this, and this. And the opportunity I saw from them was like, oh, they're going to pay me this quite a bit of money. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, we'll pay you this quite a bit of money. And so I locked in for my first 3-month contract in October. It took me all the way to January, and I locked in again after the 3-month contract by making a lot of money. And in January, I had this video that did 3 million, and you got paid per 100,000 views you got. It was a max limit at 500. And they're like, well, I was like, hey, where's my money at? And they're like, hey, well, I thought we were going to do this instead. I was like, no, you guys said money. I was like, that's not in the contract that you guys signed up and you guys wrote up. I was like, you pay me the money. I was like, so we had an issue with them. It brushed over. I was like, I have to work with these guys for a year. I was like, I'll brush it over. Well, me and my girlfriend were the two biggest sellers for the company.
Oh, geez.
And we had the most influence when it came to the company and like our videos getting posted and sent out to like social media. We probably had the most like following and things like that. And we're not following the most interaction rating. And so basically the company Clout was talking shit to other supplement companies, and they just kept talking shit and thinking they're the hot shit and hot business on the street, that I wake up one day and I log into my social media and it goes, your account has been blocked. And it was a company. It was a group of people who just basically go and spam reports Instagram pages to get them taken down. And then they asked Clout to pay them money. And Clout was like, we're not paying you guys anything. So, and these guys were, I'm guaranteeing these guys are like brought on by another people, because like there's no reason for somebody to come up my account.
Yeah.
And so then I'm asking these questions, and then Clout's like, we'll get our accounts back. We have these people. And so Clout ended up getting their account back, and they got the CEO's account back, who only had like 1,000 followers in this other thing. But me, my girlfriend, and another one of the athletes all suffered because Clout did not want to pay these people to get our accounts back, even though we got our accounts taken away because of them.
Yeah.
So me and Olivia both restarted our accounts in March.
Ugh.
And we were still with Clout. And so, like, I've had my account since March, and I'm at 20K. And Olivia's account hit 10K at the March. Okay. And the same people took it down. They took it down again. So she's like, I'm done working with Clout. I'm done working with them. I want out. And I eventually. Oh, can you still hear me?
Yep, I got you. I think you were lagging for a minute.
Okay. Yeah. So the Olivia and I were like, we're going to start like disconnecting ourselves with the company. And as we slowly disconnect ourselves with the company, the messages we got from these groups of like people started going away. And as they start going away, I was like, damn, I didn't realize this. It probably is the company. And then we decided ultimately that the company wasn't paying us. They weren't keeping things in stock. I was getting very frustrated at the company. And I was like, I asked them, I was like, because I got reached out to by another company who was willing to pay me a bunch of things. And looks like
you went away.
Let me switch mine then.
All right.
Better. I mean, it's not as good.
That's all right. That'll be all right.
So basically what ended up happening there is, move this, there we go. Perfect. I created, they wanted to do a giveaway and bring up their clothing line. I was fine. I'll do these pictures, and they made me post a giveaway on my page. I got like 3 fake accounts created with my profile picture, my bio, all these different things. And as soon as the thing was over, I went ahead and changed my profile picture so none of these accounts could like say I was falsely using it. Changed my profile picture, changed like my bio and everything, and deleted the post for the giveaway I did for them. And then Clout was like, "Why'd you delete the post?" I was like, "Because I have fake accounts and I don't want to get my account taken away, and you guys still have yet to help me with my other one." And they just were not communicating. So I just left them. I was like, "I'm done with you guys. I'm leaving. If you guys want the $500 to break my contract, you guys can have it." And they're like, "No, no." And then these guys keep talking shit behind our back, like the company, the supplement company. And I was just like, dang. They're saying it was us who got the account taken away and all these different things. And
oh, geez.
They're ultimately hurting because of me and my girlfriend, even though we're like just super cool people. We don't really hate on anybody on social media.
Yeah, seriously. Oh, that's not good business practice. Oh,
yeah. Gosh. Yeah. And I was just like, seeing the group chat, the CEO and like the other male athletes and the way they communicated, I was like, I do not want to keep myself a part of this.
Yeah.
So both me and her left, and then we're with different companies.
Nice. Probably and better off for it. The Jamal TDR username, does the TDR stand for anything?
Yeah. So I worked with this YouTuber back when I was in Korea, and this is why I said like my lifts started kind of exploding. Mm-hmm. Is I worked with Jack the Deadlift Ripper.
Okay.
I don't know if you know who that is. He was a big YouTuber in the powerlifting scene. And he was smaller. He was a smaller dude. Mm-hmm. And Jack decided in 2020, mm-hmm. he was going to get rid of all of his social media. And no one saw it coming. I mean, like, this guy's big. He's like been on workout things with Juju Mufu and all these different people.
Wow.
And he's like, "I'm done with the social media thing, man." He's like, "I have a good life." And I guess he went to real estate or something. And so Jack, I was like, "Hey, do you mind if I have the deadlift of your name?" And he's like, "It looks like you're gonna hit that 666 in competition here soon." I was like, "You know it." So he deleted his Instagram and I haven't talked to him since then. And I changed my name to Jamal the Deadlift Ripper, but it was just like Jack the Deadlift Ripper was like a long name, but not like super long. Mm-hmm. But Jamal the Deadlift Ripper is a super long name. So I changed it to like Jamal the Ripper, Jamal the Deadlift something. And I just like kept changing it. And I didn't want to keep that whole like cliche Jamal Fit or Jamal Fitness or mm-hmm. type of page. So I just went with Jamal TDR. And if anybody asked, I said the Deadlift Ripper is the end. And so I was like, it's corny, but like, it's kind of like the story that kind of brought it up, and I was like, "I'm gonna keep it." And I was like, "You know, maybe if I open up a gym here in a few years, I can call it TDR with like the Deadlift Rippers, and be like a gym like really based around deadlifting and like powerlifting things like that." So I was like, "Who knows? Maybe I'll change it later on. Maybe I'll keep it the same." But for now, I was like, people start calling me the Jamal the Deadlift Ripper, and especially on base, or they start calling me Jamal TDR. Like, "You're Jamal TDR, right?" I'm like, "Yeah." So I was like, it's just stuck with it and it stayed with it. And I kind of blew up on that name. So I kind of have to keep that name.
Nice. You've gone through quite a bit of adversity from, just like sleeping in the back of your car to sponsors treating you like crap to the army trying to walk all over you. I mean, if I were you, I'd have the most gigantic chip on my shoulder about all of that. But you seem to be pretty down to earth about all of it. I know there's, you know, a lot of people like love to trash talk you in the comment section about, "Oh, you're hyping yourself up," or, you know, "You like to talk a lot of trash about your deadlift." But is there any sort of like intrinsic motivation that you have that is driving some of the, "Hey, look, I can absolutely out deadlift all of you guys, and look at this, and this is where you can get here. Just watch me do it."
Yeah. I'm a stubborn person. I'm very stubborn, but I don't like to admit it. And like, especially if like sleeping in my car, I was like, I could have moved back home. I really could have, but I was like, nah, I put myself in this position. I'm gonna fix this position.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not going to take the easy route out and go back home. Like
Yeah. Everybody
else is like, I'm moving away from home. I'm staying away from home. And I feel like the same thing applies when it comes to like the whole powerlifting scene. Like I've had people who will talk shit on me, and I feel like that is just another part of like daily basis in the daily life, like style. Like, and I feel like I've faced adversity all my life from when I was younger and I lived in Lebanon. We were looked at as Americans when we moved back to the States, and we lived in the States. We were looked at as Arabs. We in school, I was on the football team, looked as a soccer player. It's a never ending cycle. And I feel like my youth pastor, Josh, would always tease me, but he would tease me in like a good way. He'd be like, He's like, you got to stop thinking about other people's like opinions and things like that. And I think my main driving factor is the fact that with all of this and within the comment sections, like I don't even respond half the time with people
Yeah. Who
like talk shit and things, because one, people become unintelligent, and I can see whenever there's an unintelligent conversation, I don't waste my breath on it. And like, I got called like selfish and all these different things by him. And I was just like, you know what? Yep. You're right. Yep. You're right. Cause I would try to communicate and he'd cut me off and be like, you're right. Cool. Yep. Mm-hmm. And my thing is like, if I know I'm doing good and I know what I'm doing is right, I'm not going to sit there and debate about it.
Yeah.
And I feel like with the whole powerlifting scene and like people trash talking, I just like, I know what I can do and what I've done before, and I know where I'm going to be. And I feel like that's where the biggest thing is like, you can get stuck in the moment, but, or you can look, what is your longer term and what's going to change here in the next 4 months, 5 months, 6 months. And I know like once I'm out of the military, like 100%, like I'll have a different gym, which I'll have more availability, better equipment. I'll have better equipment. I'm going to continue to grow and things like that. And that's why things like just continue to grow and explode. And I still think I'm on a high train to building up better, because I've just built 70 pounds on my squat in the last 4 or 5 months.
Yeah.
And I was still PRing up until competition time. So it's like, I'm not even at the end of like a full peak and things like that.
Yeah.
And full strength. So it's like, why would I even have these conversations of people degrading somebody? And like every once in a while, I'll communicate and I'll step in. I feel like a lot of people do that. But I only communicate and step in whenever it starts becoming like a battle between like a follower of mine and somebody who hates me.
Oh, yeah. And yeah.
The guy who hates me starts talking shit my follower, which usually the follower who's like defending you is not as strong as the person who's hating. And
right.
Then you have to kind of like step up for like the little guy. And I'm still always going to sit up here for these guys. And I feel like it's like the same thing I deal with in the army. And I'm like sitting there just like, yeah, I'm gonna let it go for a little bit. And then I need to know when I need to step in, because usually it'll just blow off.
Yeah.
But some of these egos that some of these people have, like,
it's insane.
Yeah. It's insane. And I sit there and just like, and it's always the people who tell me I have a huge ego or the people who have an ego.
Of course.
And I'm just like, okay. I'm like,
and they're usually five typing on a keyboard in mom's basement.
I was like, I'm like, oh, you think I have an ego? All right, cool.
Yeah.
Like, all right. I was like, what do you think about this?
Your actions speak way louder than your words. Yeah. And you're also 20. I mean, you're what, 23 now?
Yeah, I'm 23.
Yeah, I mean, so insanely young to be pulling these kind of numbers and having these kind of accolades. Like, you're not even tapping into a fraction of your potential, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I feel like this year is where my muscle maturity is starting to hit.
Yeah.
And I can see that with, like, muscle bellies and things like that and maintaining of strength. Because, like, before, I used to be able to lose strength like nothing. Now it's like, even though I didn't work out for an entire month with my last time I went to a month-long training, I came back and I was still really, really strong.
Nice.
So it's like, okay, so like I can maintain quite a bit even by not doing much. So
that
muscle maturity is playing a huge role. But it's just like, it's just crazy to think about like growing up and things like that.
Absolutely. You're insanely inspiring, and I definitely want to have you back on and just talk about other aspects of lifting. I wanted to get into things like preferences for hook grip and that kind of thing, but I don't want to run too long on this. Just from a social media perspective, so people can follow you and watch the insane stuff that you're doing, where can people find you on the internet?
On TikTok and Instagram, it's Jamal TDR along with YouTube. So okay. Everything's awesome. Jamal TDR across the board.
Very cool. Yeah. You have a prime. Are you preferring people go to TikTok or is TikTok your primary platform now?
I think Instagram's still like more my primary platform. TikTok, okay. I have more following. I just do fun stuff on there. But mm-hmm. Instagram is more of a communicative and basis. There's more of an ability to communicate with the followers and things like that. So on Instagram, I usually allow people. Not allow on Instagram. I usually go to my DM requests like once a day. And I'll send messages back to like followers and things like that who sent me something like, hey, can you check my deadlifts or this or that? So that's where I usually tend to follow and reply back to people.
And this guy also does coaching. So if anybody's listening, he's got a bunch of coaching programs as well as one-on-one coaching on his website. So check those out as well. I actually probably need to check that out. My deadlift is probably my best lift currently. So I'll have to check out some of your programming.
Yeah. So yeah, it's at www.tdrpower as well. You can go through my Instagram as well.
So. Awesome.
Thank you for listening. Please give Freedom Cast a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. It would mean a lot to our business. Plus, it's fun to read y'all's reviews. See you next time.